Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio. Joining me here in studio is David Harris, former Republican state representative from Arlington Heights, former adjutant general of the Illinois National Guard, and currently the director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. General, thank you so much for joining me.
Rick, good morning. Good to be with you.
First of all, Republican in a Democratic governor's administration, what's that like?
What's it like? It's absolutely great. I will tell you that the governor has often said he wants to work in a bipartisan manner. I served 18 years in the legislature. I was on the revenue committee for those 18 years. I was on appropriations for 8 years, so I had an excellent understanding of tax policy as well as budgeting. The governor reached out in a bipartisan way and said, would you be willing to be the director of the Department of Revenue? I was delighted and pleased because I support his initiatives as well, and it's a great position, absolutely.
And it doesn't hurt to have that background in the General Assembly for a new governor.
Well, it helps with the relationships with legislators, no question.
I wanted to have you on for a couple of reasons, not the least of which is we just had the news of an April surprise and a boost of state revenues on a variety of, I guess, attributable to a variety of things, changes in the federal tax policy. Obviously, April is income tax receipts time, but in any event, $1.5 billion in revenue beyond expectations.
It was an incredible receipt month, no question about that, Rick.
I mean, what was it due to?
As you said, it was a multitude of factors. Certainly, the federal tax law had an impact. To give you an example, back in at the end of 2017, I prepaid my first property tax bill, as did many individuals. If you remember the lines outside of Maria Pappas's office during December of 2017, because folks knew that they were not going to get that deduction at the federal level for 2018. So there was an impact there. The way our Medicaid system works, we get reimbursements from the federal government. Medicaid is a 50-50
right.
program. We get reimbursements from the federal government. Those came in larger numbers. And then unemployment is at a 50-year low, meaning that more people are working. More people are working, generate tax revenues. So we had an enormous spike in April receipts, as you say, $1.4 billion.
So I kind of off the air said, I kind of view this as good news, bad news. The good news, certainly it's good news to get $1.5 billion more in revenue to the state, with given the financial issues the state faces, and the governor has decided to use that revenue to make the fully fund a pension payment rather than embark on a new kind of deferral policy with a new ramp to make those pension payments, which right. alleviates some headaches that he was facing with that concept. But at the same time, having been in Springfield the last couple of days, I get the feeling that it also takes some of the pressure off legislators to act on certain agenda items that the governor had proposed in his budget, like cannabis legislation and sports betting, along with various other technical means to make the budget work. I get this feeling that it gives the legislature an excuse not to have to do something.
Rick, I'll say you're right. It's probably somewhat of a double-edged sword. However, let's go back and remember what the governor has proposed in his budget. He has proposed a reasonable, balanced budget for the first time in many years, and it's not built on phony numbers. As an example, the previous three budgets under Governor Rauner put $300 million in the budget for the sale
of the Thompson Center.
That's yes. not in Governor Pritzker's budget. It is a budget based on reasonable numbers. And remember, the governor has said this. The governor has said he recognizes the financial problems and the financial difficulties that the state has and is in, And he wants to build a budget that is a bridge to financial stability. So we can't rely on one-time April surprises every year to get us through. We need to build a solid budget going into the future. And that's what the governor has done, both with his budget as well as his proposal for the fair tax.
But do lawmakers understand that? I mean, you've been there and you know what I'm saying about that mentality of avoid avoid at all costs.
Don't avoid taking the tough votes, certainly. And I completely understand. But I think there is a recognition, a real recognition, that we need to put our state on a more solid financial basis. That's what the governor has tried to do. He's looking long term. He wants to say, this is the direction I want to take the state in. And I will tell you, the governor has been very straightforward in this. He campaigned on it. He made it part of his inaugural speech, and he made it part of his budget address. So he's been very honest and open in terms of what he wants to do.
And I mean, for the most part, and it's not, I'm not just citing Rauner, go back Quinn, go back Blagojevich, go back. Long-term planning to achieve financial stability has never been a goal of anybody in this state.
Well, maybe we can make, hopefully the governor can change that. And I think he does. You know,
I mean, am I wrong?
I have to tell you, one of the reasons I'm really thrilled to be part of the Pritzker administration is because he thinks big. I mean, he thinks not just, okay, how do we get past this budget year, FY 20, but what happens in FY 21, 22, down the road? How can we put our state on a more solid basis? And that's what he wants to do.
So, well, then let me ask you, with this revenue that came in, obviously, and as I mentioned, it makes the pension payment. But, I mean, certainly you were aware of some of the grumbling that was being heard in the State House over, granted, it's his plan to achieve stability, but we all know how much pensions take up of the state budget, and an increasing share as we pay the ramp on higher payments every year. But just that's still going to be the driver. And everybody asks me all the time, what are we going to do about these pensions? And I think it's pretty clear you have to do what the state Supreme Court said. You got to pay them.
Well, the action or the decision by the state Supreme Court a couple of years ago regarding the pension bill that was passed puts up a constitutional barrier that at some point we need to look at. Can we address it or not? But in the meantime, we have to make the pension payments. And the governor made, the correct decision with the money that came in April to say, okay, we're going to make our pension payment in full for this year. That doesn't eliminate the other structural issues that we have in financially within the state of Illinois, and that's why his proposal is so important.
We're talking to General David Harris. He's director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson, the Chicago Tribune, here in the Allstate Skyline studio, joined by General David Harris. He's the director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. General, as I've been saying all morning, having gone to Springfield, May 31st, scheduled adjournment date of the General Assembly, with a number of major issues still unresolved. And I mentioned cannabis legalization, sports betting as revenue issues. Obviously, sports betting is a revenue issue. Cannabis, not as obviously people say, it's not the stated purpose is to get revenue, but it encompasses a host of things. Both of these issues are I think, much more complicated than maybe, shall I say, the governor might have thought going in when he talked about him on the campaign trail?
Oh, I don't know that the governor necessarily didn't understand the difficulty of moving any of these and the complications of dealing with the legislature and working with the legislature, which he has said all along that it's a negotiation process. And there are 3 weeks left legislative term. 3 weeks is almost an eternity. But keep in mind that there have been a lot of working groups on, as an example, adult use marijuana, on sports betting. They've been working kind of behind the scenes for quite some time now. Now bills have been introduced in the legislature, and we get full legislative participation, and the governor will continue to negotiate with the legislature on this.
And actually, I think there's almost like a function two key in the governor's office, because anytime one of these language of legislation surfaces, it's we look forward to working with the shareholders and negotiate with the legislature. I'm not making fun of that, but that I tend to think of the legislation now, and I mentioned this earlier, rather than legislation as an iteration of these various things.
And that's I think that's a fair way to say it. It is an iteration. It moves forward. You put the proposals out there. You get response back from the stakeholders, and it moves in an iterative process. But that's why democracy is so great. The governor has proposed a responsible approach to these things. The Senate is going to look at it. They've done what they want to do in certain areas. Now it's going to go over to the House, and that's what negotiation is all about. And clearly the governor wants to and is willing to participate in that process.
Well, and certainly one of the top campaign issues that he campaigned on was the issue of moving Illinois from its flat rate income tax to a graduated rate income tax based on growth in income, similar to the federal system. That proposal to change the Constitution has passed the Senate, still awaiting a vote in the House. That would go before voters for ratification if it passes the House on the 2020 November ballot. That's why you were speaking of this bridge to stability was right, because there's the assumption that if it got on the ballot, it would pass, although it'd be a very contested ballot issue. But I think, you know, we're seeing in the House still, you know, some concerns from lawmakers, concerns from some Democrats. A couple of them have said they want more negotiations over things like more relief from property mm-hmm. taxes. You certainly, from Arlington Heights and your time in the legislature, know the concerns about property taxes. I'm not sure where the House goes on this. There are not a lot of numbers that Speaker Madigan has for people to freelance off this.
Well, I'm not going to predict what happens in the House, although I do believe that that the proposal will pass, the constitutional amendment will pass. How the votes come together still remains to be seen. No question that property taxes are an issue and have always been an issue, one of the biggest issues in the state of Illinois. The governor proposed a 20% increase in the tax credit for property taxes. The House may come up and say, well, we want something a little bit different. All part of the negotiation process, going back and forth with how we move this forward. So we will see where it develops.
Well, and to me, and I mean, obviously, you're director of the State Department of Revenue, and I think people still have a misconception that the state gets some of that property tax money.
they do, and we don't.
but I mean, I do get the sense that if there's a great deal of unrest about people complaining about taxes and we're overtaxed and whatever, it all goes to the property tax.
Oh, I honestly believe that the property tax is one of the toughest nuts to break through in terms of reform of the property tax and how we handle that issue. And the property tax...
Reform of taxation?
Well, reform of specifically property tax, because the property tax is probably one of the thorniest issues we have to deal with in Illinois. In terms of income taxes and other taxes... We're right in the middle, whether it's a flat tax or the fair tax. We're right in the middle with everyone else. With the fair tax, 97% of the people in Illinois will not see any tax increase whatsoever. Wisconsin actually has a higher progressive rate than we do. So when you look at the property tax, though, to try to get some property tax relief, which was what the governor has done in his proposal with the 20% increase on the credit, it is an important issue.
Well, and we've seen, I think, in the Senate, which also not only approved the constitutional amendment proposal, but also attached to a three-bill package of proposed tax rates, as well as a proposed property tax freeze on school districts if certain conditions are met. But those conditions, I mean, yes, everything is conditional, but there's a lot of work to meet those conditions.
There is a lot of work to meet the conditions, and I'm not, again, I concentrate on the revenue end of it rather than the policy end of it, specifically related to those sorts of things. So that will have to be worked out, again, between the Senate and the House as to whether or not the House goes along with what the Senate passes. And then, of course, you need to get the governor's signature on anything that might be passed by the legislature.
Except for the proposed constitutional amendment.
Except for the constitutional amendment, correct. If the House passes that, it will go directly to the voters, and the governor has to take no action, correct.
A lot still to be done in Springfield, as always.
3 weeks is an eternity in legislative time.
I'm going to remind you of that next time I see you on okay. in June.
Okay, that's fine.
That's David Harris, General David Harris, Director of the Illinois Department of Revenue. General, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Good to be with you. Thank you.